Hello, fight fans, and welcome to Corner Advice. I'm your host, Tommy Z, coming at you with another UFC breakdown. This week, I'm breaking down UFC Fight Night, Sanhagen versus Song. This is a 14-fight card. Lock for this card is at 4 p.m. Eastern, and there is a lot of this is another card with a lot of unknowns, not necessarily unknowns, but well, yeah, to the casual fan, a lot of unknowns. So there are a lot of matchups that are a bit surprising to see the underdog in that fight. So just going to jump right into it. It's 14 fights, so I don't want to make this a long drug out process. And we're going to start with fight one. Nicolas Motta. This is in the lightweight division. Nicolas Motta taking on Cameron Van Camp. Already, we're going to start off with the dog here. I like Cameron Van Camp. Neither guy has a win in the UFC yet. But for some reason, they keep boosting up Mota. I don't know. The odds makers seem to love him. Made his debut against Jim Miller. Got pretty much worked in that fight. Ended up getting finished. Van Camp made his debut on short notice. He also ended up getting finished in that fight, but he looked very good. I just think he's I think this is a pretty 50-50 matchup. I think Van Camp has the power to hurt Mota, and I just don't think there's a huge gap here between the two. So, like I said, 50-50 fight. I like Van Camp in this one, and I think the odds are pretty far off. Next fight, we move on to the bantamweight division. We have Javid Basharat taking on Tony Gravely. Another close one here. Both guys have the ability to grapple. I would say Gravely's probably the stronger wrestler of the two, but he does tend to fade out a little bit if he does wrestle a lot. Basharat does everything pretty well. He's got a good top game. He's a good striker, and I think that's where he's going to have the advantage, would be in the striking, also in the cardio department. I think his scrambling ability is good enough. His grappling ability is good enough to make this a tougher fight on Gravely. The biggest thing for Basharat is not getting caught. Gravely has big power, so there's always the threat there. But either guy has the ability to win by knockout here. I do see this fight going a little bit farther. I could see it going all the way to a decision. And I think Basharat just pushes the pace as the fight goes long. And I think he gets the job done here. Next fight is in the women's flyweight division. We have Maria Agapova taking on Jillian Robertson. Mine another dog here. I like Agapova. Robertson, sorry. Very good grappler, jiu-jitsu, but her wrestling's not very good. She doesn't tend to have very good takedowns, so she kind of has to force the fight to the ground. And if she's not getting the fight to the ground, she's in a lot of trouble. Agapova has some holes in her game, but overall, she's a very good striker, dangerous, explosive, and she can stuff a takedown or two. She's not the greatest when it comes to grappling, but the stylistic matchup here, if Agapova doesn't just get taken down immediately, and even if she does, I think she scrambles up. I think on the feet, Agapova does some pretty good work. She can knock out Robertson. We've seen Robertson get knocked out in the past this way, TKO'd, or just beat up pretty badly. And then she struggles to look for takedowns and doesn't get them. So a lot of losses when you look at both of their records. So, this is one that could go either way. I could see either one of them winning in dominant fashion, but I'm going to take Agapova in this one. She's the underdog. And, yeah, I just think her at her best is better than Robertson at her best. Robertson's kind of a one-trick pony, and Agapova, while she's mostly a striker, she can grapple, she can scramble, and her losses are to, decent fighters. So, I mean, they've both lost to decent fighters, but I think it's a close fight. It could go either way. I like Agapova. I just like the explosiveness on the feet, and I guess that's where we're rolling. Next fight is in where's I got the fights are all out of order, so just bear with me here. The next fight is in the lightweight division. We have Danielle Zellhuber taking on Trey Ogden. This should probably be one-way traffic. I like Zell Huber here. Very, very, very good striker. Long. He trains at elevation, so his cardio is great. Ogden is just an average fighter. He has okay stand up. Doesn't really do too much on the feet. Mostly throws straight, like one, twos. He tries to work the body a little bit, but really doesn't do anything. It's kind of like basic stand up. Grappling's pretty good. He does have a nice guillotine. He does have a good amount of submissions on his record. But overall, I just think Zell Huber's the better fighter, and this should be his fight. The only question mark I have, and if you're looking at it from a DraftKings point of view, is he going to be worth the price? He is pretty, mostly a striker. So there's a chance that he just kind of picks his way to a 3-round decision. Although he does have a nice head kick, he does have the ability to win by KO here. My biggest fear would be him just point fighting the whole time. But overall, I just think he's the more dominant fighter. So I think he gets the job done. Next fight is in the strawweight division. Women's strawweight division. We have Loma Luke Bonmaí taking on Denise Gomes. Luke Bonmaí is a pretty big favorite here. She's a good fighter, very good Muay Thai, good hip tosses, so decent on the ground. Just very strong, good in the clinch, does everything well. Gomes coming in, she, you know, from what I saw, she looks a little bit sluggish, hittable. Overall, I just think Luke Bonmaí wins this fight. The only problem with Luke Bonmaí is allowing it to look close. She's not exactly a killer going out there looking to take people's heads off. She's very fast. She is good striking, good hips, good throws, all the stuff that you want in a favorite. But still leaves a little bit on the table. So like Luke Bonmaí, I like her better, in terms of the on the betting side. DraftKings wise, again, pretty high price, very high price, for historically not a lot of high scoring outings. So I like Luke Bonmaí to get the job done, but not super high on this fight. Next fight is in the welterweight division. We have Trevin Giles taking on Luis Cossi. Cossi is another guy that I pretty much almost immediately look to fade. I've only seen him fight in the UFC one time, obviously, so he could surprise us. He could bounce back, but from what I saw, he is an explosive guy who, if he doesn't get to finish early, things go bad for him. Trevin Giles, he's not some kind of superstar, but he is a very good fighter. He's a UFC vet. He's been in there with some of the top guys. I just think Giles is probably going to be able to pick him apart on the feet a little bit, especially as the fight goes long. Giles should have the better cardio. Just historically, I mean, when you're looking at these two names on paper, Luis Cossi just doesn't do it for me. Good wrestler, good power, but he has a lot to prove in the UFC. And until further notice, I'll be fading Luis Cossi. So Trevin Giles is the play here. Not mid-tier confidence with Giles, but I definitely think Giles is the better overall fighter with the more experience. And right, we move on to the next fight, which is in the women's bantamweight division. We have Aspen Ladd taking on Sarah McMahon. Very close matchup here. McMahon, another fighter who has power wrestling, who, when she is winning with the wrestling, looks dominant. She does tend to fade. She is in her 40s now. Aspen Ladd has not had the greatest of performance as of late, but she is overall a pretty skilled fighter. She has good striking, decent power. She can grapple, which is the difference for me here is I think even though McMahon's probably going to land a couple takedowns early in this fight, I think Aspen Ladd will work her way up. She'll make it difficult. She's strong enough to make this a tough fight. as the fight goes along, I feel like she will wear on McMahon, and it's going to really come down to, midway through the second round, who's looking better in the cardio department, who's having success in the grappling department. And I think it's really a toss up from mid second round to the third round. I would think Aspen Ladd will have the advantage in the third round. Most of her best rounds have been late in fights. So I like Ladd late in this fight. I definitely think it's a toss up fight. But I think, again, Ladd being the younger fighter at her best at this point, she is going to beat Sarah McMahon. So if she shows up, I think she gets the job done. If she just has another lackluster performance, like we saw a couple fights ago in the main event, it could go bad. But she's a slight underdog here. I'm fine with that. I'll roll with Ladd and hope for the best. Next fight is in the flyweight division, or no, featherweight division. Damon Jackson taking on Pat Sabatini. Big Jackson fan. I've always been a Jackson fan. This fight scares the hell out of me. Like Sabatini, he's a good grappler, but he doesn't really do a whole lot with his grappling. He doesn't land a lot of strikes, and he tends to start fast and slow down a little bit. Jackson, he's the taller fighter in this one. So he has the advantage there. I just think this is going to be a fight, just come down to scrambles, and whoever ends up winning the exchanges at the end is going to be the one who does better, who goes. Jesus, I am it's early, I'm recording this early. So basically, the early scrambles, whoever gets the advantage there is going to have the advantage as the fight goes long. I think Sabatini on paper is the better wrestler right off the bat, but I do think Damon Jackson is dangerous with his knees, his elbows. He'll throw strikes off his back. I think this will be the hardest fight Sabatini's been in the UFC in terms of a guy who's looking to just land strikes from anywhere, who's looking to scramble, who can match the grappling. And I've seen Sabatini slow down a little bit in a couple of his fights. And so I like Jackson here. This is one that I'm gonna just kind of monitor through up until fight time, because I do hate picking against Sabatini, and Jackson does have some flaws, but Jackson has a great record for a reason. He seems to find a way to win most times. Both guys do. But I don't know. I think I've always been a Jackson fan. He's always come through for me. So I like Damon Jackson here. Fight scares me. Obviously, going back, I'm rambling, and for good reason, because this fight scares me. But I like Damon Jackson. I think he has the potential to win this fight, and I think he has the potential to sneak in a submission at some point. So Jackson is a play, not a ton of confidence, just because the fight scares me, and we go from there. Next fight is in the middleweight division. We have Anthony Hernandez taking on Marc-Andre Barrio. I like Hernandez. I just like his style. He looks to grapple. We've seen that recently. He pushes a good pace. He has good solid takedowns. He's a durable kid. Just a good scrappy fighter. Just does everything right. Barrio, I like a lot. He's a very good striker. He has a lot of volume. The problem he's had in the past has been getting taken down. So I think just matchup wise, this works out for Hernandez. Just push a pace, grapple, 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 land takedowns. That should be enough to secure him a victory. We did see Marc-Andre Barrio get knocked out in his last fight, so you don't know how he's going to come back from that. So there's a pretty, I feel like there's a pretty clear path here for Hernandez. Just push the pace, wrestle. He can land a big shot, but I wouldn't expect him to knock out Barrio. It was the first time he got knocked out, so I don't know. I think he's going to go on a string of getting knocked out, but I just think Hernandez, he's the guy here. Use the grappling, could rack up a pretty decent score on DraftKings, and he can get the job done. Next fight is in the heavyweight division. We have Tanner Boser taking on Rodrigo Nascimento. Both of these guys kind of scare me. Boser pretty much is strictly a striker. Not going to see him grapple too much. Does have decent power, but not like a one punch knockout guy. He did win his last fight by knockout, but most of his fights have gone to decision. He has good leg kicks. That's the thing that I like and I don't like about his style, because in this matchup, good leg kicks against Nascimento might catch a leg kick, take him down. That's kind of what I'm banking on. I'm banking on Nascimento winning the grappling. Even in Boser's last fight where he won, he did get taken down and he was getting controlled a little bit, and then he used the cage. He grabbed the cage to stand up, and the referee acknowledged it and didn't do anything about it, which was pretty crazy. And then, 30 seconds later, he's winning by knockout. So, pretty cheeky way to win, as Michael Bisping would say. But hey, he got the job done. So, but in this situation, I think Nascimento, if he gets him down, he will capitalize. He could find a submission pretty early. And if he doesn't, I feel like he just controls Boser for the most part. And I like to roll with the grappler in these kind of matchups. And I'm rolling with Nascimento in this one. Next fight is in these. I don't know why these are so out of order this week. Where is it? I don't even know. It is. Okay, here we go. We got Alan Amadovsky taking on Joe Pyfer. This is in the, I believe, middleweight division. I didn't write it down, but these are middleweights. This is just a steamroll here. Joe Pyfer should win this fight by knockout. I wouldn't be surprised if it was in the first minute. That's what I'm banking on. I've already got Pyfer to win. Well, I already put a same game parlay in on Pyfer, which I just did like under 2.5 rounds by KO. It got to like +100. But I also threw a little sprinkle on him to win in the second round by KO, +550, I think it was. So that's kind of like a little hedger. If that hits, it covers both bets and I'm up a little bit. But yeah, I just think Pyfer wins this fight in the first round. I think he does it by knockout. Amadovsky is just, he's never won in the UFC. He's been finished in his last two fights. He was finished in, I want to say, 17 seconds and 1:04, both of the first round. So, I mean, the guy, if he gets hit hard by Pyfer, the fight's over. So, steamroll here. I like Pyfer. I like him in the first round. And yeah, not much more to say about this fight. Next fight we have is in the, I wish I knew. Here we go. Featherweight division. Love this fight. This is a fun fight. As a fan, this is a fight that I could watch over and over again. Or at least I expect it to be that way. We have Bill Algeo taking on Andre Feely. I like Bill Algeo as the dog here. He pushes a good pace. His biggest weakness is that he can be taken down. He always does scramble up back to his feet, though, which tends to wear on his opponents. We saw him do that against Ricardo Ramos. He was taken down a bunch in that fight, but really, that was one of those fights where he was taken down a bunch, and it's frustrating. But as a guy, I was on Ramos, and watching it as a Ramos ticket holder, you get nervous because Aljo made that fight look ugly. He was doing the better work in the striking. He was the one that looked better down the stretch. And it was like Ramos was basically reliant on getting takedowns. And that's really like, that's how Bill Algeo loses. I don't think Andre Feely has the game to do that. Andre Feely does have good grappling. He does have takedowns, but he's not as dominant as a guy like Ramos. And really, it's just going to be a scrap. even if Feely lands takedowns, Algeo is going to get up. It's going to go back and forth. It's going to be all action. Algeo has the more volume striking wise. He's just a really good fighter. He hasn't been able to put together a nice string yet, but I feel like he's kind of him and Feely are kind of one and the same. And I think he's just the momentum for him is a little better right now. Pace for him fight wise is going to be better. And just overall, yeah, just Bill Algeo as the underdog against a guy who's kind of had middling results recently. Solid, solid fight. So I like Algeo here. He's probably my favorite dog on DraftKings in terms of cash. Never in a bad fight. And yeah, I think Algeo's the play here. Next fight is our co-main event. We have Gregory Rodriguez taking on Chidi Enchukwuanyi. Another very, very good fight. Very close fight. Tough for me to call. Really, it came down to the grappling, which even that is not a huge differentiator here, but I think it's enough. I like Rodriguez as a grappler. He's very strong. I feel like he can hold Chidi Enchukwuanyi down a little bit. They both have big power. They're both extremely dangerous. I would think that this fight probably ends inside the distance. But again, this is one of those fights where you have two guys who have knockout power and are extremely dangerous, and they kind of stalemate each other potentially. We've seen it time after time, but I do think there's a good chance we do see a finish here. Both guys have a ton of power. I think when it comes down to it, Rodriguez, I just think he can win in the grappling department. He can make the fight a little bit uglier. We've seen him go long in these fights in the UFC. So he's got a little bit more experience in that aspect. Enchukwuanyi is very good. It's not easy to pick against him. The odds are very close. But Rodriguez is the pick for me. And it's going to be one hell of a sweat. I'm not going to have this fight in any of, I'm not going to have it in my top parlay by any stretch of the imagination. I am probably just going to bet this one straight up, and I'll probably do Rodriguez inside distance, try to get better odds on him. But yeah, this is a awesome fight to watch. Great fight for the fans. Tough fight to break down. But I'm going to roll with Rodriguez on this one. We move on to the main event. We have Corey Sandhagen taking on Song Yadong. This is a pretty big step up for Song. He's a very good fighter. He's definitely on his way in the UFC. He's well-rounded, does everything right. He has good power. He is dangerous. Sanhagen's just been there. He's been in there with the best. His last three losses are to the current champ, the former champ, and the current title challenger, TJ Dillashaw. So those are not bad names to lose to. The TJ Dillashaw fight was very close. A lot of people thought Sanhagen won that fight. He was controlled for a good majority of that fight against the cage. Not really a technique that Song is gonna be able to have success with. And then the Petr Yan fight, another fight that was very close. That was for the, I think, yeah, they were calling that the interim title at the time, when Sterling was out. Another close fight. He fought a very good fight. I actually think he outlanded Yan in that fight, volume wise. So Yan was just a little bit more powerful. I think that's really where it came down to the difference. And then he lost to Aljamain Sterling. Aljamain Sterling caught him in a choke early. And for Sterling gets you in a choke early, you're in a lot of trouble. So basically, three has lost to three champions in his recent losses. He's just high level. He's very high level. He has good finishing abilities. He's long. He has very good movement. I think it's just a step up for Song. I do think the fight will probably go potentially all five rounds, just because Song has only been finished once in his career. And, both guys are extremely durable. We've seen that. So I think it can go back and forth, but I just think the pace is going to be on the in the favor of Sanhagen. The experience is going to be in the favor of Sanhagen. Sanhagen's fought multiple 5-round fights in his career. Song Yadong has not. So this is just a step up fight for Song. Obviously there's potential that he could answer the bell and he could show everybody that he belongs in the championship conversation. But Corey Sanhagen to me is one of the best fighters in the bantamweight division. The little switch here or there, and he's right there. He's the guy fighting for the title. So Corey Sanhagen, very high on him. I like to fight. It's a fun fight. And but I just think the experience in the championship fights is gonna go his way. All right, so I hope I don't I'm not sure how long that was. I think I got through that pretty quickly, but 14 fights. It's gonna be a good one. Starts at 4 Eastern. As always, check my article on gupscorner.com. I like to look at the weigh-ins before I finalize everything. My bets will be on Twitter at Tommy Score at Tommy Z underscore MMA. What else? Yes. So the article will have my prize picks, my cash core, and betting wise, we had a nice week last week. Looked great with the dogs. 4-2 on dogs, should have been 5-1, I think, but it is what it is. So we're hoping to keep that train rolling. I think I'm gonna look at the way I do cash a little bit differently. It's been basically 50-50 recently, which I hate. So we're gonna look at that a little bit differently. It's all gonna be in the article. Again, follow me on Twitter, Instagram at Tommy Z underscore MMA. I will have my bets posted. I'll post my bets live if I do anything during the event. Give me a follow and looking forward to a good night of weekend or a good weekend of fights. And let's have some luck on Saturday.